Before I start today's Dhamma talk, I'd like to remind you, after the retreat, it's not the end of your meditation. When you go back home, try to practice at least 1.5 hours a day. At least 1.5 hours a day. Constant practice is very important to make progress. If you do not practice at home and only wait for retreat, then you cannot make good progress in the retreat. So try to make a habit to practice at least 1.5 hours a day, especially early in the morning. Which early in the morning, after a good sleep, good rest, your mind is quiet, peaceful. Especially early in the morning, the mind is not so active. It's very good for anapanasati. To practice mindfulness of breathing, your mind cannot be too active. Too active, it becomes restless. Your mind must be quiet, a little bit weak, then very easy you can concentrate on the breath. So early morning is the best time to practice mindfulness of breathing and sit 1.5 hours. Train yourself to sit 1.5 hours. 1 hour is not enough for concentration. And I feel very happy here because I see many people making good progress, although we only have 2 days retreat. Quite a lot of people coming to report. They see the light. So this is a good sign. Today my talk on Meghiya Sutta. I already promised to talk on 7 factors of enlightenment, but I think the cost for me to talk on that talk, on that topic, is not there. So I changed to Meghiya Sutta from Anguttara Nikaya, which I think is also helpful for you. Okay, so today's talk is on Meghiya Sutta. Meghiya, who was at that time Buddha's attendant. At that time, the Blessed One lived at Charika. And the Meghiya approached the Master after saluted him respectfully and said, Lord, I wish to go to Chandugama for alms food. Then the Blessed One said, you may do as you think fit, Meghiya. The Venerable Meghiya, dressing himself in the morning and taking rope and bow, entered Chandugama for alms food. Having made the alms round and taken his meal, he went to the bank of the Kimkala River. There, while walking about to stretch his legs, he saw a pleasant and beautiful mango grove. Seeing it, he thought, pleasant indeed is this mango grove. It is beautiful. Truly, it is fit for a clansman who wishes to make effort in meditation. If the Blessed One allows it, I shall return to this mango grove for my efforts. And the Venerable Meghiya went to see the Blessed One and asked permission to go to this mango grove for his own meditation. But the Blessed One said, wait for a while. Wait for a while, Megia. We are now alone here. First, let another monk come. But the Venerable Megia repeated his request, saying, Lord, for the Blessed One, there is nothing further to achieve, and nothing needs to be added to his achievement. But as for me, O Lord, there is still more that I have to achieve, and more to be added to what I have done. If the Blessed One permits, I shall go to that mango grove and strive. Again, the Blessed One asked him to wait, and again the Venerable Megia made his request for a third time. I think Venerable Megia is very disrespectful. Even the Lord Buddha asked him to wait. Now nobody serve me. Wait for a while. Wait until somebody comes. He never listened to the Master's word. When Buddha says something, he must have his own reason. You know, because he can foresee. He has psychic power. He can see what will happen in the future. But this Megia is very disrespect. Very disrespect. Then he didn't follow the teacher's word. It's very important to be a student. You must be obedient. That's very important, especially obedient to the instruction. Listen closely, follow the instruction closely, then you make good progress. If you cling, or you cling to your own view, and you never follow teacher's instruction, then after some time, the teacher gives up. I don't want to teach you anymore. Okay. Then the Buddha say, as you speak of striving, Megia, what can we say? You may do now as you think fit. Then the Venerable Megia rose from his seat, saluted the Blessed One. Then he went deeper into the grove, mango grove, and sat down under a tree to spend the day there. But while staying in that mango grove, the three evil, unwholesome thoughts constantly assailed him. What are the three evil thoughts? One, sensual thoughts. Two, thoughts of aversion. And three, the thoughts of violence. These three thoughts constantly attack his mind. Then Megia thought, truly it is very strange, it is amazing. In faith have I gone forth from home into the homeless life, and yet I am harassed by these three evil unwholesome thoughts. Thoughts of censure, thoughts of aversion, and thoughts of violence. Then the Venerable Megia betook himself to the Blessed One, and having saluted him, he told him what had occurred. This is the reason the Blessed One didn't allow him to go. But he didn't follow. Okay. Then the Megia told the Blessed One all what had occurred. Then the Blessed One said, if Megia, the mind still lacks maturity for liberation, there are five conditions conducive to making it matured. What five? Number one, Megia. The first thing, Megia, for making the immature mind mature for liberation is to have a noble friend. Karyana Mitta. To have a noble friend, a noble companion, a noble associate. If you have a noble friend, a noble teacher, noble companion, If you associate with the noble one, then your mind, it can make your immature mind to become mature for liberation. And this is very, very important, especially in the teaching of the Buddha. Buddha says, the chief external support for the cultivation of noble eightfold path is this noble friend. External support. The external support helps you to cultivate the noble eightfold path is noble friend. Noble associate or noble companion or your teacher, your noble teacher. Okay. And one day, how it is important. One day, the Venerable Ananda, he taught himself. He said, for a success for this spiritual life, the noble friend plays 50% of the holy life. So then he think, am I right? Why not I go and ask the Blessed One? So he approached the Blessed One, say what he think, what he has thought. Then the Blessed One told him, no, Ananda, you are wrong. For the holy life, the noble friend, noble companion, play 100%, not 50%. If you heard that the Venerable, then the Blessed One said, if you have a noble friend, a noble companion, you are bound to success. Of course, your effort also important. If you have the noble friend, noble teacher, but you never try, then you will never success. So it's very important. If you want to be successful in your spiritual path, you must have noble friend, noble teacher, noble companion, or noble association. Okay. So how? What are the quality a noble friend should have? There are few quality they should have. Number one, he should endow with loving kindness. Now he must have love for all sentient beings. Number two, he must be a virtuous person. He keep his vinaya strictly. Number three, he must have wide learning, all the knowledge. If he is a monk, he must know all the vinaya. We have three baskets, three tipitaka, vinaya pitaka, sutta pitaka, and abhidhamma pitaka. So he must have these three. He must have enough knowledge about these three pitaka. Then he must also have practical experience. Learning knowledge not enough. You must have practical experience in order to guide the student in the meditation. And he also must have realization. Realization of the Dharma. Then he also must have enough effort, viriya. Then he must also endow with patience. That's very important, patience. If somebody come and accuse or abuse the teacher, he must be able to endure all the abuse, not react with anger. So all this quality makes a person a noble friend. So you must choose based on this quality, then you associate with those you think is noble one, noble friend. Noble here doesn't mean that arahant, Those who possess all this quality can become your noble friend. Okay. So if you have the noble friend, then our immature mind will become mature for liberation. Okay. Number two, There are five conditions. Number one, we have finished number one. Number two, further, Mekiya, a monk should be virtuous. His life should be disciplined by the codes of his monastic rules. His conduct should be proper and also his resort. His resort means the place he stays must be suitable. Then, seeing danger in the slightest fault, he should train himself in the rules he has accepted. This is the second condition, making the immature mind matured for liberation. Although this is for monks, but for lay person, also applicable for lay person, it means that you must be virtuous in three ways. Your body action, your bodily action must be virtuous, your verbal actions and your mental actions must be virtuous. Your mental action free from covetousness, free from anger, free from violence, free from jealousy, free from conceit, and free from stubborn hypocrisy, and so on. Make yourself virtuous so that your mind, if you become virtuous, then your immature mind will become mature. Okay. Number third, further, Mekiya, the talk in which a monk engages should be fit and monk's life and be helpful to mental clarity. That is to say, it should be a talk on, number one, wanting little. It means you must engage in certain beneficial talk. What are the talk beneficial for you? Number one, wanting little. So you talk about wanting little, not wanting more and more. For example, you have small house. You want a small house. You have enough. For example, for monks and nuns, we have four requisites. We have only robes, medicine, food, and lodging. These are our four requisites. So we only have this. We only need this four enough. So one thing little. But as a lay person, you also should try to cultivate this good quality. If you have small house, enough. Don't think of the big one. If you have a small car, enough. Don't think the bigger car. If your wishes, if you want more and more, then your craving increases more and more. And this craving is the cause of suffering. The second number two. Craving is the cause for all suffering. So you must talk, your talk must deal with wanting little, not wanting more and more. Okay? The second one, contentment. You must have contentment. Contentment is the greatest wealth, Buddha said. If you are contented, then you become the richest person in the world. If you are not contented, even though you have billions of dollars, you are not the richest one. So once you become contented, you become the richest person. And this contentment also refers to whatever achievement you have, you are contented. You don't want to boast your achievement to others. For example, you are very rich. You never boost your rich to others. You are contented. And for example, your meditation is very good. You never tell other people, how good is my meditation. So this is also considered contentment. Conceal your achievement. Don't show off your achievement. Okay, this is also called contentment. Okay, the next one, on solitude. You must engage in talk. Talk about the solitude, not association. Today I go to this party, associate with certain person, I want to associate with this and that. No. If you talk about the association, then your immature mind will never become mature. You must talk about the solitude. Stay alone. Strive hard in the meditation. It's called solitude. Okay, the next one. On seclusion. Now, seclusion is referred to mental seclusion and body seclusion. When you sit there, secluded yourself from external world. Okay. Then, on application of energy. If we engage talk in application of energy, how to put forth energy, how to strive harder, how not to become lazy. If we can talk about the energy more and more, then we are bound to success. There are three types of energy. Number one, energy, the first is called the energy of arousal. Before you come to meditation, you start the first energy of arousal. So you come here and meditate. But this is not the end of it. The second energy, the energy of persistence. Once you start, you need to go on constantly, persistent, perseverance. Don't give up. Now this is the middle energy. And the third, the last one, the energy of exertion. You exert the utmost effort to achieve your goal. I'll give you a story of Buddha's time. There was a wealthy son from a wealthy man. One day, he came to listen to Dhamma talk, and he was so inspired. And immediately, he was so inspired, and he feel disenchanted with the worldly life. So he decided to become monk. Then, after became monk, he went into a forest and tried hard in his meditation. And one day, a robber came to his house, to his kuti, wanting to kill him. Then he was very surprised. You know, I'm a monk. I have no property. Why you want to kill me? Then he said, this robber told him, your sister-in-law asked me to kill you. He said, why? Because you have your house, you have plenty of wealth. You know, your sister-in-law afraid. If you disrobe, came back to home, then share the property. So better your sister-in-law ask me to kill you first. Then he told the robber, okay, can you give me one more night? Give me one more night. Then next day you can kill me. If you can give me one more night, spare me one more night. And the robber say, how can? You will run away. You know? Okay, then he took a big stone, and broke both of his knees. Then he said, now I cannot run away. Can you spare me one more night? Okay, the robber is also, you know, so touched by his determination. So okay, I spare you one more night. And this monk, he think of himself, you know. He said, it's very shameful for me to die as a worldly person, as a worldly one, without achieve any sainthood. I don't want to die as an ordinary person. Tonight, I'm going to strive until I reach Arhantship, because I feel so disgusted. I feel so shameful to die as an ordinary person. So taking his pain, because he broke both of his knees, is so painful. So taking his pain as meditation object, he strived very hard until the next morning, and he achieved Arhantship. So if you feel pain during meditation, you think of this monk, okay? He broke both of his knees. How painful is? Then you little bit pain, oh, cannot stand anymore. So you must listen to this type of story in order to arouse your energy. This is called application of energy. On application of energy, if you engage talk, engage in such type of talk, it will make your immature mind mature for liberation. So what you talk is very important. If you talk only worry thing, today Halloween, they are go enjoy, after this we go and enjoy Halloween party, then no, such talk will not help you. So you must engage in beneficial talk, like talk one thing later, contentment, talk about application of energy, okay, on solitude, on seclusion, then next on virtue, your five precepts, how to keep precept, not to break the precept. You talk about this. These are called beneficial talk. Then concentration. You also must talk about concentration. How to achieve first jhana, how to practice concentration, how to achieve first jhana, what is first jhana, what is second jhana, what is the benefit of concentration. You must engage in such type of talk in order to make the mind more mature. Okay. Then you must engage in talk on wisdom. Wisdom. What are the domain of wisdom? If you want to talk about wisdom, there are few domain you should discuss with. For example, element. Element. You talk about element, four element that can make your mind, your wisdom become sharper. Talk about the element, talk about the aggregates, five aggregates. Talk about the six sense bases, eye base, ear base, nose base, tongue base, body base, mind base. And talk about four noble truths. Then the last one, talk about dependent origination, cause and effect. So wisdom includes these five important subjects. Once again, talk about elements. When you talk about elements, for example, the body is composed of four elements, then your perception of self will disappear. And it helps your wisdom to become mature. Okay? And if you talk about the five aggregates, then you understand five aggregates is the noble truth of suffering. And this body, mind and body, is only conventional too. What actually exists is five aggregates. So you understand better. You will not cling to the personality. Okay? Then you talk about the six sense bases. Because all refinements come through the six sense bases. All the greed, hatred and delusion either come from the eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, or from the mind. So it's also important to understand six sense bases. Then you talk about four noble truths. The main teaching of the Buddha is four noble truths. Buddha said, you and I have to go around this cycle of birth and death. Why? Because not penetrating the four noble truths. Because of not penetrating the four noble truths, you and I have to go round the cycle of birth and death. So in order to reach the end of the samsara, we have to understand four noble truths. Okay. Then the last one, we talk about dependent origination. Everything depends on cause and effect. So if we keep on talking about dependent origination, we understand everything arises due to causes. So there's not a self. Everything arises, pass away due to cause and condition. So our sense of self will become less and less. So all these thoughts are beneficial for our mind to become more and more mature. Then talk about the deliverance, liberation. liberation from all the suffering and liberation from the realm of rebirth. So if a monk has easily, without difficulty, opportunity for such talk, this is the third condition making the immature mind mature for liberation. Okay. Number four. Further, Negiya, a monk lives with his energy set upon the abandoning of everything harmful and the acquiring of everything beneficial. He is steadfast and firm in his efforts, not shirking the task, as to cultivating things beneficial. This is the fourth condition for making the immature mind mature for liberation. Number four is live with the energy set upon the abandoning of everything harmful. Everything harmful comes from the three doors: body, verbal, and mind. So everything harmful comes from the body. For example, what other harmful thing come from the body? Killing, sexual misconduct, stealing, and anything harmful from the verbal, slandering, harsh speech, lying, and frivolous talk, useless talk. So you must abandon. You must have energy to abandon it, not to indulge in it. And anything harmful comes from the mind. For example, our covetousness, our greed, our jealousy, our stubborn, hypocrisy, then sleepiness, restlessness, skeptical doubt, ill will, and so on. Anything harmful comes from the mind. You must have enough energy to abandon it. This is an admonishment from the Buddha. If you engage in it, if you entertain it, then the defilement take upper hand of you, and we become a slave of our defilements. So first, abandon. You must have enough energy to abandon everything harmful, and acquiring of everything beneficial, whatever good. For example, sila, samadhi, panya, morality, concentration, and wisdom, charity, morality, concentration, and wisdom. All are beneficial, then you must have enough energy to acquire all these good things. And the last one, further Nehiya, a monk possesses wisdom. He is equipped with the wisdom that perceives the rise and fall of conditioned things, which is noble and penetrating and leads to the complete destruction of suffering. The last factor, the last condition, he must possess the insight knowledge of seeing arising and passing away. We call Udaya Baya Jnana. The inside knowledge of arising and passing away. He must have this inside knowledge. And this inside knowledge is very penetrating and leads to the complete destruction of suffering. And this is the fifth thing making the immature mind mature for liberation. Of a monk, Megiya, who has a noble friend, a noble companion and associate, it can be expected that he will be virtuous, that he will engage in talks befitting the monk's life and helpful to mental clarity, that his energy will be set upon the abandoning of everything harmful and the acquiring of everything beneficial, that he will be equipped with the wisdom that leads to the complete destruction of suffering. So from this paragraph, what Buddha wants to say is that when you have the noble friend, the most important one, then the other fourth will come to fulfillment.